Hello, you're listening to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. AMR, or antimicrobial resistance, refers to when microbes such as bacteria develop the ability to evade the methods of attack we have on them, like antibiotics. In the case of bacteria, they're often able to pass on the instructions for how to resist the antibiotics and share that information with each other. Today, we're talking to Dr. Fiona Walsh about her work into how widespread these instructions might be around the world.
So my name is Dr. Fiona Walsh. I'm a researcher and head of a lab in Maynooth University in Ireland, which is just outside Dublin. And what we look at is antimicrobial resistance across animals, humans, and the environment. And as part of that, what we're interested in is looking at how antibiotic resistance moves between each of those different areas. And the headline of this research and the main part of it is looking specifically at those mobile pieces of DNA that move the antibiotic resistance from, in this case, chickens to other parts of the world, or from other parts of the world to the chickens. So the globalness, essentially, of those pieces of DNA that move the antibiotic resistance genes and the antibiotic resistance genes across the world and across samples or locations like humans, animals, plants, water, soil, you name it, it's in there.
Yeah, I think people probably underestimate the kind of global nature of this problem. So you're mentioning here the movable parts of DNA. Could you explain that a little bit for us? Because that's pretty key to what you've been looking into, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So there's lots of ways that DNA moves. And one of those are kind of shuttles, like essentially a carrier of genes. So if you imagine it like a bus, that we've got this bus that has passengers, and those passengers are genes. And the genes hop on and hop off at different stops. The bus might go across the country. It might just stay in one town. But you've got a lot of movement. So it's really the bus is the plasmid, and that transfers across different bacteria. And the genes are then the passengers that hop on and off.
Right. OK, so the bacteria are sending these buses, that are called plasmids, across to each other and sharing their knowledge, which means that this antimicrobial resistance is able to move around and get to all different parts of the globe. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah, that's exactly it. Also that antibiotic resistance genes aren't the only passengers on these plasmids. There are lots of different genes. And that's what we were also interested in, is what's moving with these resistance genes and what's moving together globally. So what have we got as an entire plasmid and an entire group moving across the world?
Why is this so important to understand?
Well, in terms of treating infections, antibiotics are very important. Antimicrobials are very important for treating fungal, bacterial and viral infections. And the resistance genes we're talking about are against antibiotics that treat bacterial infections. So bacterial infections before antibiotics can kill people. They can cause such infections that the human immune system can't stop them, and then they overtake the body. So antibiotics really help in reducing the number of people that die from infections. They also reduce the severity, or how badly you react to the infections. So it's really important that we maintain these really wonderful medicines for as long as possible. And the medicines are used not only in humans, but also in animals. And the antibiotics or antimicrobials are also used in plant protection as well. So there's more than just the humans at risk here as well.
Right. And so what you're saying is that, you know, it doesn't matter species to, you know, kingdom, these antimicrobial bits of DNA or others will transfer across. So if we're using antibiotics in our food chain, that doesn't mean that it's going to stick, that antimicrobial resistance is going to stay in the food chain. It will get to us and beyond.
Exactly. And the other thing is to remember that we're not the end stop. We can also be the movers of that DNA. So our waste then goes back into the environment. the waste from animals is used as manure. So it's really a circular environment that we're dealing with as well. So in terms of infections, we are really important, obviously, but also what we're doing to transfer that resistance is also extremely important.
That's so true. I mean, I've thought about antimicrobial resistance a lot, but for some reason, I haven't really thought about it being the full circular thing. It's always been from a very human-centric viewpoint, which is obviously very unhelpful, but that's why the stuff that you've been doing is so important. So could you talk us through what exactly it was that you were looking into and how you did it?
Yeah, so what you can see from the papers that it's not just me. I'm just one of the authors on that. So
yeah,
we work together as a team, and part of that team is a company called Alltech, which funded the research. They work with animal health, and they were particularly interested in antimicrobial resistance in animal health. So what we set up the study initially as a PhD project with Sarah, for her to look at this problem of antimicrobial resistance on plasmids in chickens. And they gave us samples that we could take the DNA out of, which is what Sarah did, and put them into E. coli. So the difficulty when we're looking at things like plasmids in a complex system like a gut, so a chicken gut is also complex as a human gut,
yeah,
that we can't grow everything. So we need to take the DNA out and put it into something that we can look at. So we did that with E. coli, and then we read the DNA for the plasmids, those mobile pieces of DNA from those. And we compared those then to what was known globally. And there's a map in the paper as well that shows where those plasmids are identified. So these are, they're not just similar, they're highly similar, very, very similar pieces right. of DNA in a circle that are all around the world. And what you can also see on the map is that there are gaps. So there are large gaps in terms of our data that we don't have anything to compare to. So we don't know what's present.
When you say these bits of DNA are incredibly similar, can we infer from that that there was a kind of physical movement? Can we tie down to why these plasmids are able to have moved so far?
Essentially, no, not yet. We can say that they are essentially the same plasmids, or very, very similar plasmids across different samples. The difficulty is always finding the source. So we know that they've moved broadly in terms of their host. So the bacteria were found in human samples, animal samples, plant, water and soil. But we don't know what came first. So it's a little bit, excuse the pun, but a little bit like chicken and egg situation. You know, we know they both exist, but which came first?
Right.
And at this stage in terms of the evolution of antimicrobial resistance, it's not quite so important to know where it came from, but that we have this problem, that it is everywhere. And the question is trying to understand what do we do now with these plasmid knowledge and with understanding that it is everywhere. So in terms of ranking importance, it's not that humans are necessarily the source or the sink of all plasmids, but there are lots of other important places that we need to look at in terms of antimicrobial resistance plasmids.
Right. Had this kind of level of research been done before? were we aware of the spread of this?
So we were aware of the spread of antimicrobial resistance genes. That's very well known. The same genes have been found across samples, again, globally, and again, across different types of hosts of those bacteria. The difference is the level of identity of the plasmids. So we knew that the pieces of DNA were moving on mobile pieces of DNA. Certainly that was well known.
Yeah.
But to say that they're essentially the same plasmids, from my reckoning, is novel to this extent.
Gosh.
So you can look at plasmids, and people are doing this across different samples. So across the UK, there's groups that have looked from human to animal to environmental samples and have also found plasmids that are highly similar. But it's more the global nature That's novel.
Gosh, it's quite scary. So what are your hopes? I know you kind of said the question is now what to do with this knowledge. What are your hopes or expectations or, you know, of what comes next now that we have, now that you have found this? What can we use this for?
So I think, well, the first, always as a scientist, knowledge is key. So to understand what's present and where these plasmids are is very important in order to be able to prevent their spread. So again, in terms of where they've come from, where they're going to, we don't quite get that because it's difficult to identify. But we know that they're there. So what do we want to do next? And in terms of understanding what's present, the research also highlights the gaps that we have. So again, from that map that we have, there's a lot of countries that we don't have data on. And this is data in terms of plasmid data. So there are countries that we have some data on, but they're not used in a surveillance type of way. So for surveillance, we look at bacteria, we look at maybe the genes, but we don't look at the plasmids. And there are many reasons for that. Money is number one, but also technology and so on. And really, the what my hope for the next step of the research is that instead of countries funding, let's say, a national analysis or national survey or a European survey, that it's really global in order to help the countries that do not have the data create their own data. And very much from themselves creating the data. Because if we have this information, there may be countries that have a very different pattern, but we haven't looked in those countries, so we don't know what's happening. They may have a very similar pattern, but have a very different use of antimicrobials. And when we're looking at this, and the highlight is really that it is global in nature. So funding research in one or two or three countries just isn't enough. It's really to find the information in the countries that are lacking the data and to support them and to support the researchers in those countries. There's no use in me going to a country that I know nothing about and doing the research. And then coming away after 3 years with all of the data, but the infrastructure is lost. So it's a continuous surveillance, but really in terms of surveillance, that plasmids are considered as an important part of that surveillance globally.
Absolutely. Do we have any, I mean, what your findings here are scary. They are intimidating as a challenge for scientists across the globe and for politicians and for societies. As you say, this has to be a globally tackled problem. Is there any hope at the moment? Is there anything that people can do to try and help with this? I mean, be that the public, be that perhaps vets working in, you know, animal industries or similar.
So yes, I've worked with antimicrobial resistance for quite a while now, and I never lose hope. I think that that's the thing. When you're, it might also be because scientists are working to try and find solutions, that you always have hope. There is funding in this area in research, which I think is a huge advantage over other areas. And there is a public will to really try and improve the situation. So there are huge advantages that we have in terms of trying to tackle the problem. I think the public can actually do a huge amount by their choices. So every time you go into a shop, every time you go into a supermarket, you make a choice in supporting the reduction of antibiotic use in animal and plant health in terms of the unwanted use of antibiotics. So when you choose a product, let's say from the UK or from the EU, you know that there are strict regulations in terms of what antibiotics are allowed to be used there. And they're only allowed to be used in terms of health of those animals or those plants. So by choosing a product from either your local area or from within the country or the EU, you're choosing to minimize the use of antibiotics in your food.
Right.
So that's one very easy step to do. It's not so easy because sometimes you may need to pay more, but to first of all be aware of where your food comes from and to do it that way. The other step is in supporting clean water globally. So by ensuring that people have clean water to drink, and I don't mean this just in the sense of countries with lesser amounts of money, but in Ireland, in the UK, in Europe, that we don't pollute our waters with waste from humans and animals. That will reduce the amount of antimicrobial resistance genes and bacteria going into the environment and circulating in this global fashion. And by ensuring that people have clean drinking water, you also ensure that the bacteria and genes are stopped getting into the humans. So they're two relatively simple ways of ensuring that you as a person in your everyday life can help reduce antimicrobial resistance.
Thank you for listening to Microbe Talk. As always, we'd love your feedback, so please leave a comment wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you'd like to feature on a future episode of Microbe Talk, please get in touch.